Padres are kind of in trouble. It's got nothing to do with the players or the coaching. But I'm really worried. Let's get into it.
Sweeper for a swing and a miss and strike three.
Driven to deep center by Profar. Mullins racing back. It's gone.
Slightly from Ryan Nelson.
Ball left field. Back goes Varsho. At the wall.
Welcome to Touching Base Podcast. If you're new here, please subscribe. Hit that like button at the very end if I deserve it. We have a new microphone, so you don't have anything in front of my face anymore. How do I sound? Leave a comment down below. We won't be giving a giveaway this week just because this is the only video I can get out because I was traveling for work. Buckle up. If you have coffee, start sipping. Padres issue is getting a little wild. On November 14th, 2023, the San Diego Padres owner Peter Seidler passed away. Now in 2024, this last season, all the players wore a yellow and brown heart with PS initials on their chest. So if you saw this last year and were ever wondering what it stood for, now you know it was for the late owner Peter Seidler. Well, Peter left his mark in a very positive way for the Padres, just going heavy win now mode for the last couple of years that he was alive, and that included signing Xander Bogaerts, Manny Machado, extending Tatis, trading for Blake Snell, and then also holding that same standard after his passing with the trade at the very beginning of the last season, Cease, and then later acquiring Luis Arraez in 2024. Well, Peter may have honestly gone a little too hard. Turns out the Padres took loans out on those players and without the revenue to pay off these loans, and partially playing a role, I think, in a very quiet 2024 offseason. Well, since his passing, it's gotten worse. Sheil Seidler, who is the wife or widow of Peter, is now filing a lawsuit against the brothers over ownership of this team and a lot of discrepancies as far as the trust. They all go into it, but let's dig a little deeper. And before I go any farther, let me shout out Padres Burner on Twitter or X, who wrote an article on the 90-page lawsuit where I got a lot of my insight and also other places, but I just want to give him a shout out for doing the research and putting his two cents in there so that I can make a better evaluation. After Peter's death, the majority ownership was in a bit of a limbo until they can get an agreement settled and everything filed, but this included Peter's brothers, which would be John, Matt, and Bob Seidler, and then also including Peter's wife, Sheil, and her three kids, including certain extended family, but they're not listed specifically in the lawsuit. On December 21st, 2024, an announcement of John Seidler became the Padres' control person. This was the first domino to fall. Allegedly, we're going off the lawsuit filed that with the courts, and we haven't had a rebuttal, press articles of the announcement wrongfully said that John had the support of 45% of the Padres' owners, a number that includes Sheil and their children and their control stake. Neither Bob nor Matt even interviewed Sheil or attempted to engage in the process with her to evaluate her suitability for the control person. And I would be pretty pissed off too. Thus, now Sheil has filed that lawsuit against the brothers for control of the team. You see why we haven't seen any action with the Padres? The owners can't even figure out who's the main owner. Also in the filings, per the terms of the trust investment upon Peter Seidler's death, one, all of the probate assets are to be added to the trust, and the trustee is required to distribute from the trust a generation skipping tax exempt amount to the exemption trust. I know that was wordy. Two, a charitable gift to the University of San Diego, and three, all other assets to the marital trust. To date, Bob and now Matt have failed to confirm they have distributed a single dollar to the exemption trust or the marital trust. Now, the marital trust is basically everything that Sheil needs after Peter passes away as far as paying bills and keeping her livelihood altogether. Now, again, these are all accusations and all allegedly, and it's all found in the lawsuit. It does get worse from there. The trust has yet to pay Sheil and her children's living expenses, which is required by the trust instrument and really what Peter desired, and he put it in writing. According to the lawsuit accusations filing, the trustees are required to distribute all net income from the exemption trust and the marital trust to the beneficiary at least quarterly. Now, we've gone through a whole year since he's passed away, so obviously they're going to have about 3 to 4 different times that this should have been distributed. The marital trust provides Shields needs for health, education, maintenance, and support in her accustomed manner of her living, which obviously was very lavishing. The brothers allegedly have failed to distribute the income to Shield and instead are using that income to pay their own attorney's fees and cover their own obligations. So in result, this has forced Shield to take out a loan of $2.45 million to purchase property that she and Peter had decided to purchase prior to his death, and she and Peter have never needed to take out an external amount of debt to fund the family expenses because they own a baseball team and they have revenue during their entire marriage. Now, before I go on, as I put in allegedly a lot into this video so far, some of you are going to say, poor rich people needing to take out a loan for their millionaire lifestyle. I completely understand the lack of sympathy for the rich, but I think we should also consider some empathy for a family that lost a father and a husband, and now has a family attempting to take that away from what they worked together on to build. Simply, let's just take the figures and change them to a very standard family housing. $300,000 for a house. Now, for San Diego, that's going to get you almost nothing, but anywhere else in the world, I'm trying to relate with you. Let's say that there's a trust of $1 million, which is about what someone's retirement may be at the end of their lives and saved. And that's basically there to support the family after you pass away. External family is now going to take that trust of $1 million for personal reasons, and you need to go get a loan to keep your home so you can live now without your partner. The principle of this is exactly the same. Let's not let the figures change right from wrong, if this is all true. Now let's move on. Matt declined to give Shield monthly updates regarding the Padres. This is what Shield's saying in her lawsuit. This is the largest asset held by the Seidler's Trust. Now, Shield has also asked if he intends to take action that would dilute Shield's marital trust interest in the Padres. So things like this would be like bringing additional investors, and this could also mean out-of-town investors who may want them to move the team if their vote becomes a majority. You see how this becomes a problem, why it'd be a major concern. To make things even more shady, this is coming from the lawsuit, I'm going to say this every time as a caveat, Shield hired lawyers to get answers from Matt and Bob on what the changes are being made and what's going on with the trust. Their lawyer firm, Gray and Reed, allegedly stonewalled her attempts and refused to provide even the basic information until she signed an NDA. This is where I get a little bit, I'm starting to question some stuff. If you aren't legally savvy, NDA is a non-disclosure agreement where you would agree not to tell anyone what they tell you, supposed to be used for like protecting intellectual own property, like ideas, inventions, and whatnot. Shield and her lawyers worked on finding details on their actions, which took months to produce, and all of it was critical information revealing the extent of their mismanagement. When Shield expressed concern about Bob's and Matt's behavior to the other relatives, Matt enlisted lawyers to, and I will say allegedly, quote, intimidate her into silence with threats of defamation lawsuit, and incredibly spent trust assets to do this. Okay. Now here's the cherry on top, and this has got to be probably the worst part. The defendants, in quotations, which would be Matt and Bob and also John Seidler, but primarily Matt and Bob, they used illiquidity narrative to sell themselves the Seidler's trust assets at far below market prices, while simultaneously rescinding an agreement that had become effective the day Peter's death, stripping the trust of interest in private equity funds, and left the Seidler's trust in the worst position possible. Now, again, these are all allegations in the lawsuit against the brothers, and nothing has been proven at this point, but I have a feeling it's either desperation for a wife to get her money back and continue running the team, or it's all true and the family is just doesn't like her, which might be a possibility at this point. But when there's very little information coming from the other side that has been released and plenty of people sharing the biggest, you know, buzz news on X, like Alicia Seidler in the lawsuit, for example, in a message on October 15th, 2024, not that long ago, the same day that Matt unceremoniously told Scheel that she lacked the experience and skills and the financial knowledge necessary to control the team, Alicia sent an email that perfectly encapsulated the Seidler's family views of Scheel. I'm going to just say this, and maybe it's just her, but it seems like she's willing to say it to the whole family, so she thinks they agree. Quote, "Do you really think the family would work for your f***ing purple ass? You are delusional." She wrote that in an email. Well, there's also a speculation that the team might be looking to be moved because most of the ownership is located in LA, and Alicia's post publicly cheering the Dodgers on at a Dodgers game. I mean, it seems pretty realistic that maybe this family has some alternative motives, which are probably not good for the city of San Diego. It's assumed that the rest of the family is probably in a similar interest at this point. And as it's stated in a concerning documents filed, that indeed Matt's efforts to promote his brother John as a control person and to block Scheel may well be part of its efforts to sell and perhaps relocate the team over Scheel's strident objections. In any event, there are clear breaches of fiduciary duties to Scheel. That's kind of a separate issue, just given that she hasn't received any funds after Peter's death. Now, this could be the requirements of the trust, as we mentioned earlier, but I don't know entirely. I obviously don't have eyes on the trust specifically. Now, the counter I found was from the trust spokesperson, and I was like, I wonder who that is. Turns out, as I did a little bit more research, I was going to record this yesterday, that would be Matt, one of the defendants. So the spokesperson for the trust is the one that's part of this lawsuit who is being accused of taking this away from Scheel. Ironic. Quote, "The complaint filed by Scheel Seidler, the widow of Peter Seidler, is entirely without merit. Peter had a clear estate plan. The plan specifically named three of his nine siblings with whom he had worked closely for many decades as successors, trustees of his trust, and Peter himself prohibited Scheel from ever serving as a trustee. The trustee is exclusively responsible for designating the San Diego Padres' next control person. In 2020, in connection with Peter's appointment as control person, Scheel agreed in a sworn document that she had no right to be or to designate the control person and that she would not interfere with a designated control person. She also stated in May of 2024 that John Seidler, Peter's eldest brother, would be the control person for the Padres. The Padres have already filed an application to the Major League Baseball Association to appoint John, a lifelong baseball fan, seasoned business executive, and current minority owner. John has the right experience and shares Peter's vision for the Padres. Ensure that there is consistently competitive team on the field and best-in-class fan experience with the goal of bringing championship caliber baseball to San Diego. Planning for the 2025 season is well underway, and we look forward to pursuing the franchise's first World Series title." End quote. This is a response coming from supposedly Matt, from what I can see, because there's a bunch of quotes that come from the spokesperson and other people posting that Matt released it, and it's stated that it was Matt saying it, that are identical to what I just read, unless they're just reading the same paper, but either way, it's the same message they're trying to get across. If this is true, then the ownership of the team is kind of off the table, but there is zero sign of this document publicly. But the money Scheel is due for the net income to support herself and Peter's three kids is strongly in her favor. There's nothing kind of going against that. My take. Here we go. This is where you get my opinion from this whole thing. The legality of this should be very simple to determine in a court of law. That's if it is unbiased and the judges are not bought off by the majority owner Seidler family, because if I say Seidler family, you don't know which one I'm talking about. The level of racist comments and obvious hate towards Scheel and the greed of the family is a terrible look for the MLB if these are the owners that are going to be in charge of the San Diego Padres. Bottom line, which in turn, fans will fail to support the team, and that means profits drop, which in turn give more reason for the family to relocate, thus taking the last pro sports team out of San Diego. Now, I might be wrong, there might be a hockey team, but I don't pay attention to hockey, so correct me in the comments if you like, but I don't really care. It's an uphill battle for Scheel. 100%. But I don't think the MLB, if they were even able to advocate for her on moral grounds, can do anything when there's possibly signed documents prohibiting her from the rights to the team. And at this point, I'm Team Shiel for now, because it all seems pretty messed up. But I'm also sadly realistic to the likelihood of the Padres being moved come 2029 due to fallout and the possible ambitions of the Seidler brothers. I don't know if what they said is true. I mean, it's safe to say the debts owed on the players and the money being dumped into legal battles, the Padres aren't going to make any big moves, and they're maybe selling more than buying, which is only going to feed the negative atmosphere rolling into 2025. Now, there has been a statement that was put out by, I believe, one of the Seidler brothers saying that they have no intentions of moving the team, which I don't, obviously, if they just say that, they're just saying that, it doesn't mean that they aren't really going to do it because of the reasons I just stated, that if money drops, people are pissed off, they don't like the ownership issue, they might not show up, they might not buy season tickets, they might just want to stay away from this issue, and then they say, okay, we're not profitable anymore, we can't afford these players, we have to sell the team or relocate it. Comment your thoughts below, or add links of information if I missed anything. I'm putting this out on Friday instead of our doing our giveaway. I'd love to get more information from you guys. If you guys know any more, speculate, have ideas. If you have no inside knowledge, feel free to reach me personally on X through a DM. Like the video if you made it this far. Subscribe so we can get to 5K as soon as possible, and yeah, I can give away a signed jersey. I'll see you guys on the next one. Later.